We continue with the Mishnah Sazeh of Shabbos. We will be using the Sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa. There's a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. Every Jew is responsible one for the other. For this reason, one may make Kiddush for another individual, even though the person who sang the Kiddush already fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush, or did not yet fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, doesn't want to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Now, the person who says Kiddush to someone else, he hasn't yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Kiddush, and doesn't want to fulfill it right now, he wants to make Kiddush somewhere else, may not drink from the cup of the Kiddush, for a simple reason. We're not supposed to eat or drink before Kiddush. Now this is Kiddush, but it's not Kiddush. It is Kiddush in theory, but not for you, since you don't want to fulfill the mitzvah now. A very important concept. I make a borrowed prayer gofer, and mekadesh haShabbos, I don't drink. Normally, that's not allowed. I can't make a shachani b'dvaro for you to eat. Why not? I can make a bracha on a mitzvah for you. The answer is, I'm responsible for you to do the mitzvah. The Ran says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that if I did the mitzvah, until every Jew does the mitzvah, I haven't fulfilled even my mitzvah completely. I have a sense of responsibility, so I can make a bracha for you. But shahakol, I'm not responsible for you to drink milk. So don't drink. Don't have the candy. So therefore, normally when it comes to birchas hananin, I may not make a bracha for somebody else if he's eating and I'm not. The exception, there are two exceptions in the Gemara. One is bar prayer gofen of Kiddush. The other is hamotzi of alachilas matzah. There, I'm responsible to see to it that you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush or matzah. You can't have Kiddush or matzah without making a bar prayer gofen or hamotzi. So therefore, that is included in my responsibility for you. There's a big dispute with respect to what we call Kiddusha Rabbah. Kiddusha Rabbah is a euphemism. Like Sagi Norm is a lot of light. So Kiddusha is a big Kiddush. It means a very small Kiddush. The Kiddush which is the rabbinical obligation which applies during the day. The big fight among the Gedoli Poskim, what's the nature of Kiddusha Rabbah? Is it fundamentally Kiddush? That's how we hold the halacha. Therefore, I can make Kiddush for you. This happens in my shul sometimes. In my shul, after davening is over, we have a Kiddush. So I make Kiddush in the shul. And then everyone goes downstairs to have their cake and whatever else they want to eat. Why do we do it that way? For a simple reason. To avoid a stampede. And to avoid, oh, they're waiting for the rabbi, they're waiting for the rabbi. You want to be the person that they're waiting for you? You're like, you know, they're salivating. All the food, and then you know someone's talking to you with a question. You, much better. I make the Kiddush upstairs right away. And usually, at most occasions, when it's a Kiddush, I drink the wine myself. I usually have grape juice. And then I go downstairs and have cookies just to fulfill the mitzvah of get to a Kiddush from up in Suda. But that's only for occasions in which I feel that I should be making Kiddush because it's an important Suda. A Kiddush in Shul is usually it's called the Suda Soda. When do I have a Kiddush in Shul? I mean, typically, either someone has a bar mitzvah, someone has an ofruf, a baby girl is named, was born recently. Those are the main times when we have a Kiddush in the shul. Those are all suda sodah, which is a mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah. You set aside the diet. And you have a couple of extra cookies that you wouldn't ordinarily have, because it's a mitzvah, right? Some people make frivolous kiddush, you know, for whatever reasons, which I'm not so interested in. Some people make what they call a yardside kiddush, which is a very nice, but I'm trying to watch my weight. So when that happens, I just call someone else and says, do me a favor. I'll make the borrow for a girlfriend. You drink the wine. And then I go downstairs and I circulate. I don't need anything. You follow me? That's allowed, because we pass in the halacha that kiddusha rabba has the status of kiddush. Not everyone agrees. Some think kiddusha rabba is just a euphemism. It really means it's borrow for a girlfriend. That's all. It's a birchas hananin. Which the Chazal Metakin, in which case you would not be able to say the bracha for somebody else. Now, we have many women in the room tonight. Women, as we mentioned in the very first discussion of Kiddush last week, are obligated in Kiddush the same as men. No difference, because Zohar v'Shamar v'Divar Echad. Women who are obligated in Shamar are also obligated in Zohar. And therefore, a woman may recite Kiddush for her husband and her children. No problem. No problem. This is permissible. I'm quoting verbatim now. Umitameitz nius nachom shalachatchila lo totzio isha anashim acherim b'nei chavasam im einem b'nei beisa. It's not right that a woman should say the Kiddush for others who are not members of her household. It's considered to be a violation of tznius with the Mishnah Berurah. There's a movement in some circles that the man and the husband, even when no one's around, they alternate. You make Kiddush in the morning, I make Kiddush at night, or vice versa. I'm very much opposed to this. This is something which has never happened before in history, and I believe it's part of the egalitarian push, and therefore I am opposed. I know it happens. We'll get to other situations where it happens. I'm opposed to it. I'll give another example. We spoke last 2 weeks ago about Hadlokas HaNeiros. We pointed out that that's a woman's province, right? Because she is the Balas HaBayis. What if a man will say, I want to light candles, we'll switch off weeks, right? 1 week I'll light, 1 week you'll light. The wife will want to show, whack, crazy. I'm not giving up my candle lighting, that's a precious legacy, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. By the same token, she should not be asked to give up her prerogative of lighting candles, which is a woman's primary obligation, even though a man is obligated too. I mentioned to you that I did it myself. First Shabbos, my wife was not here and not home. I had an obligation. I told Yechovas Gavra to make my own Nadlok on Nershel Shabbos. I just used the light in my bunk. And I said a bracha. Fine. But I'm not going to dare ask my wife, let me light candles this week. Are you crazy? It's outrageous. So too, a woman should say to husband, let me make Kiddush this week. It's not right. Yes?
If there are a group of girls and there's a man who's already made Kiddush, is it better to ask the man to make Kiddush for the group of girls?
An excellent question. We spoke about the fact that there's a concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. There's a number of fascinating disputes with respect to this concept. It's a little bit of what we call lumdus, so listen carefully, everybody. There's a big issue whether the concept of Arevim Zeh LaZeh applies to women. A number of major arguments among the greatest rabbis, without mentioning all the names. There's a Rabbi Kiva Eger, there's a Rabbi Yehuda, the biggest rabbis. There is a source which seems to indicate that women are excluded from the obligation of being responsible for others. It's a fundamentally a communal obligation, and women are exempted from that type of obligation. And therefore, there are some who claim that a woman cannot say Kiddush for a man unless she's fulfilling it herself at that point in time. Some say that. Some take it a step further and say, works in both dimensions. Men are not responsible for women. So a man, if you already made Kiddush, cannot make Kiddush for a woman. That's your question. If that position would be held, then we would say for sure, the man should not make Kiddush, the woman should make Kiddush. The man already heard Kiddush with Yotze Kiddush. Let the woman make for the other women. Most authorities reject both of these positions and say, no, women, men are obligated in Arevus, and certainly men for women. When there's no din of Arevus is when the individual is exempt from the mitzvah. If I'm exempt from a mitzvah, for example, if a woman on the level of Midaraisa might be potter from Birchas HaMazon, why? Either because she doesn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, or she's not obligated in Bris and Torah, so let her say Birchas HaMazon for a man on the grounds of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. There we say no, not because of her gender as such, but because she is exempted from the obligation of Birchas HaMazon, so she therefore is excluded from the possibility of discharging a man's obligation. If that's the case, doesn't apply to Kiddush. We said before, Kiddush, women are the same as men. Same exact obligation. If that position is correct, then it works both ways. A man can make Kiddush for a woman if he fulfilled the mitzvah already, a woman can make kiddush for a man if she fulfilled the mitzvah already. That is the preferable psak. Preferable. Again, there are those who have disagreements. It's quoted famously in the name of Rabbi Akiva Eger. I mentioned this briefly last week. There's a question that perhaps the man fulfilled the mitzvah of kiddush when he davened marav and shul. He comes home and his wife didn't daven marav. He did daven marav. If you take the worst case scenario, the men are not obligated and are arrangements for women, you cannot make kiddush for her. So they quote Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says, believe it or not, on a level of Torah, if a person says, good Shabbos, you already fulfilled the mitzvah of kiddush. So that's why they say, when the man comes home in that circumstance, he tells his wife, good Shabbos, she says, good Shabbos. So therefore, she already fulfilled the mitzvah of kiddush by Torah law, in which case, there's no problem for the man to be able to make kiddush for his wife, even according to the worst case scenario opinion, that there's no arevus at all with respect to women, even a man for the woman, even the woman is obligated. Okay, so that's what some say according to that particular opinion. Okay, now it's important to understand that a katan may not make kiddush for a gadol under bar mitzvah. He's not obligated. Can't make kiddush for someone over bar mitzvah. Not only that, but it goes further than that. What will happen if the people in the house include the following? Including a bar mitzvah bacha, just a bar mitzvah, and his mother. The father's away. What's it then? If you ask me, the woman should make kiddush. She may be uncomfortable a little bit, but I think she should make the kiddush. I'll tell you why. Because we do not assume that every 13-year-old is in fact bar mitzvah. Because bar mitzvah halachically requires not only age, requires that the individual be 12 for a woman or 13 for a man, also requires certain signs of physical maturity, which we're not for sure that the 13-year-old has. When it comes to rabbinic matters, we have it all the time. Bacha bar mitzvah gets up and he reads from the Torah and he davens for the yomid. So then we assume, it's called chazaka derava. We assume that the individual has achieved those physical maturity signs. But when it comes to Torah obligations, it does not apply. For example, give an example in my own house. I had quite a few boys who were bar mitzvah in Parsha Zohar. Yes. Three different occasions in our family, we were bar mitzvah of Parsha Zohar, including four different boys, little twins. In all those cases, they did not lay in Parsha Zohar. Not because they didn't know how, because I wouldn't let them. Because since it's a Parsha Zohar, it's a Torah obligation. So therefore we say, we cannot rely on this chazaka derava, and so we didn't allow it. So too, with respect to kiddush, which is a Torah obligation, because we're not going to be sure that they fulfill the mitzvah in Shemona Esrei. And therefore, we say, as the Shemir Shabbos Gelchosa points out, that you cannot rely on the Chazaka Derava if we're talking about fulfilling the mitzvah min HaTorah. Okay? Fine. Interestingly, someone who he points out, as I said before, about good Shabbos being a possibility. I'm not going to go into it. Someone wants to make kiddush for somebody else erev Shabbos before he accepts Shabbos. I don't want to accept Shabbos. I'll give an example. This is a really halacha lemaisa. You have an ailing parent in a hospital or rehab, and you want to make kiddush for them and drive home. A good question. The phone is just demonstrating what a good question it is. No problem. It's not a problem. The Shmir Shabbos is not sure whether it works or not. He's not sure. He doesn't know. Kivega doesn't know. So how are we going to know? So he says, well, you know, Shlomo Zalman Orbach wanted to allow it in a difficult circumstance. Maybe it's better if you get a ride home with somebody else instead of driving yourself. it's a bit complicated. Okay, this leads us to what we alluded to earlier, that you're not permitted to eat before Kiddush. Friday night, even water should not be drunk. Zero. Nothing. Even in the morning, ideally you should eat or drink nothing before Kiddush, men and women alike. Okay? When does it begin? When the sun sets. Or when you accept Shabbos, even before the sun sets. What do you make early Shabbos? You pointed this out. You can make early Shabbos, you can daven Maariv early, you can make Kiddush early. Talked about, you know, hospitals or senior centers, and they give the food early, should be Kabbal Shabbos, make Kiddush, and eat after Plag HaMincha. If they serve earlier than that, and you can't wait, can't hold the food till afterwards, eat, and after it gets dark, or after Plag HaMincha, ask for just a little grape juice and a little roll, and that will have to suffice in a difficult circumstance. Okay. Shabbos morning, once again, points out before davening Shachris, you can drink before, without making Kiddush. Whoever, I have to give you my personal animus over here. In my humble opinion, healthy people over here, young people, you should eat nothing and drink nothing before davening. Water. Shulchan Aruch allows water. The Rambam, I don't think, allows water either. But okay, water, we can, if you're sick, you have to take a pill, then you can certainly drink water before davening. But other than that, he tries to stay even away from water. For the Rambam's view. Okay, so the question becomes, Shabbos morning, did we just learn you can't even drink water before Kiddush? The answer is, that prohibition sets in only after the obligation of Kiddush sets in. The obligation of Kiddush sets in only after you finish davening Shacharis. So therefore, if you typically have water in the morning before Shacharis, 6 days a week, you're allowed to have it on Shabbos as well. Okay. Fine. Interestingly, some women have a habit of davening in the morning before they eat. If that's the case, so she has the same status as men, and she could drink on Shabbos morning before she davens Shabbos. But what happens, as many women have the custom, and I think it's the proper custom, not that way. In many schools, Beis Yaakov, etc., they daven in school and don't provide breakfast, not like some of the boys' schools. And they don't even provide a free time to have breakfast. They assume you will have eaten breakfast at home. You know, you say brachas first, etc. If that's the case, the Shmir Shabbos says, there's an obligation of Kiddush as soon as she says those brachas, and she can't even drink water before she makes Kiddush. Wow. Truth, that's what some of the poskim say. Shasat Sorech, she may eat before davening, even without making Kiddush earlier. He quotes a number of different reasons for this. From different, the Maram Chalava says the women are not obligated in Kiddush in the morning at all, only obligated at night. And there were those who say there's no prohibition of eating before Kiddush in the morning, only at night. Rav Moshe is a tshuva. A married woman has to eat with her husband. The husband hasn't davened yet. It's not her time for eating. And she can eat without Kiddush yet. Shlomo Zalman doesn't like that svara. But generally speaking, they'll be trying to be lenient whenever it's possible. What happens if someone is too weak? Shul gets out. That's by show of hands. Yeah, everyone goes to shul Shabbos morning? Yeah. In your shul, who finishes by 11 o'clock on a typical Shabbos? Raise your hand. Great. What shul do you go to? Good.
Rinat.
So two guys in the whole group here finish before 11 o'clock. I had young Israel the river, though. Usually finish before 11 o'clock, too. Who finishes before 11:30? Raise your hand. Who finishes after 11:30? Raise your hand. Okay, we won't go into the prior details. Some shuls, anyone finish after 12? Oh boy. Okay. Now, I have problems with that on a number of levels. Number one, as we shall see, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam says this way, the three meals of Shabbos have three designated times. At night, the morning, and the afternoon. And therefore, ideally, to follow this opinion, we should try to wash before Chatzos, before midday. So when is midday? When there's daylight savings time, which is most of the year these days, it's not that much of a problem. Because midday is approximately 1 o'clock. You don't go past 1. You don't get, whoa, it's close.
Depends when you get home.
Till you get home? Okay. So if you get home and you're washing your hands before Chatzos, it's approximately 1 o'clock. But during the, you know, it could be 10 to 1. But during the winter months, which is now 4 months of the year approximately, from the beginning of November to the beginning of March, then it's approximately 12 o'clock. And it could get as early as, in New York City, as 11:39. Yeah, that's early. So, you know, some shuls are still in the middle of shul, 11:39. So what kind of wash before 11:39? So try to find a different shul if you can. Ideally to fulfill this idea of washing before Chatzos, which I think is very important.
So what about camp? The lunch is 12:40 or 1:40.
Listen, I don't run this camp. And where we come from, on our side, we eat lunch at 11:30, which is before Chatzos. Chatzos camp time is about 12 o'clock. I don't know exactly what it is, because it's, you know.
So could their breakfast count?
Oh, it's an excellent question. Could breakfast count? So some authorities maintain, I was going to get to this later, but since you asked the question, we'll get to it now. Some authorities maintain that if you have cookies or cake, do they serve that for breakfast? Shabbos cake? Shabbos has a special status, although this year ain't the same, but we'll go into that right now. But if you have Shabbos cake, or the like, or the equivalent, that's what's called pas habor bekisne, which means it's not regular bread, you wouldn't make a motzi on it, but if you had enough of it, you would. And it has the status of a pas. And according to some authorities, this suffices to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Most authorities disagree and say no. It's true that most authorities say that the obligation of Kiddush B'Makom Suda is satisfied by Shabbos cake. So we come from, in our side, we daven at 7:30, we eat at 9:30, breakfast. We have, you know, wine and Shabbos cake. So you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush B'Makom Suda with the Shabbos cake. Nonetheless, we try our best to get the bread, the challah, in before Chatzos, because we want to fulfill this obligation called Aruch HaShulchan and the Rambam of actually washing before Chatzos. Okay, I was going to get to all this a little bit later on, but I hope I answered your question. So in a pinch, the Shabbos cake, not even Shabbos cake, put the Shabbos authority, Shabbos cake is better than, because some authorities maintain that it can be fulfilled with any kind of mizonos. It's not cake. But since they do serve cake, it's delicious. Unless you're on a strong diet, I recommend it strongly, even this year. Yes?
If someone, either a man or a woman, has like bad headaches in the morning until they have coffee, and it's like hard for them to like...
You asked a very, very, very pointed question. The Mishnah Brewer talks about those individuals, that they cannot, in his words, Ain dato misyashem es bilto. They can't think straight before their coffee. Now you'll forgive me if I use an expression which you may not like. Those individuals are addicts, or what some would call them, junkies. Until they get their jolt of caffeine in the morning, they can't think straight. I am a firm believer that all addictions are bad. I recommend strongly, whoever is in that category, I'm not here to criticize anybody, get off the habit, quit it right now. It's not healthy, it's not good to be addicted. But if Nebuch, you are addicted to Mishnah Berurah Paskins, you're allowed to satisfy your addiction before davening and Shabbos, or you can't daven. It's impossible. You can't daven. You can't think straight. The Mishnah Berurah knew about this 100 years ago. More. Nebuch, that addiction still did the worst addictions now, but that one still exists. But not only that, I quote from the Shemir Shabbos, someone who's weak and can't wait till 11:30. What do you do? You know what he says? Not gonna believe it. Daven Shabbos b'yichidus. When you wake up in the morning, make kiddush, have your cake or whatever, wash whatever you want, and come to shul to kriyas haTorah Musaf. That's what he says. In some yekesha places, everyone does that. I don't know how they have a minyan. That the minyan is everyone does the davens b'yichidus, makes kiddush, comes to shul. I guess they have 10 designated minyanaires, but that's a custom in certain German communities. Yes.
Is there a difference between eating foods that are not considered to be a meal before kiddush, like a fruit or a yogurt?
He rules that you shouldn't have anything before kiddush. But this is not only a halacha as far as kiddush is concerned. In my opinion, this applies 7 days a week. 7 days a week. It's weak. So he has to eat before somehow. He must eat within an hour of the time he wakes up. Doctor's orders. Okay, no problem. Get up. Daven b'yichidus. Eat and then go to shul. Take kedusha, whatever. Kaddish and the rest. You know what the problem is? Chassidim. The problem is chassidim. Because the chassidim, they're very, very lenient in this matter. They're eating every day. They're sitting with their coffees and their cake and their daf yomi before shachris. And you know what? So people think it became they just ignore the whole halacha. And I'm a big malamed schos, says there are certain opinions which allow it, they're not going to forget, etc., etc. But according to most authorities, shouldn't be eating or drinking anything before daven. Let's discuss women. Women are much more lenient. Their obligation to daven is very questionable. Maybe they're only obligated to say brochas, that's enough. But for men, should not be eating or drinking anything, as I said before, 7 days a week and Shabbos as well. If you're under bar mitzvah, no problem. Under bar mitzvah, there's no problem giving the individual food before kiddush, whether it be Friday night, as we shall see, or whether it be Shabbos morning. This is okay.
There's no chinuch on that.
No chinuch. We're going to have problems. We're not worried about chinuch for that particular matter. Okay. Fine. Now, we mentioned that kiddush should be made over wine, which is presumably, according to most authorities, a rabbinical requirement. It's not by Torah law. There's no need to use wine. What about grape juice? He says you really shouldn't use it. Some say it's okay 100%. It all depends on what's going on in your life. Camp, much better off with grape juice. If you're at home, I think I mentioned last week that the chinuch writes that the wine is ma'orer u'mesameach. It makes you awake, it makes you happy. That is not a part of grape juice. So wine is better for those who are able to have it. You have no wine, you make kiddush on challah. By a show of hands, has anyone in this room ever made kiddush on challah? Amazing, Baruch Hashem, there's wine everywhere. The old sidurim, I kid you not, get a siddur from 100 years ago. You'll see. Then it has the line. If you have wine, bar per guffin. If you don't have wine, say mosi. Who's ever seen a siddur like that? You never saw a siddur like that? Look for your old siddur. All of them had that one because they didn't have wine. Couldn't afford it, couldn't get it. Now it's already. No one, that's not many siddur nowadays of the newer ones. Okay. What about other drinks? For Friday night, no. If you have, you don't have wine, you have other drinks, you make a kiddush on the challah. What about in the morning? Of course you should use wine. If there's no wine in town, you hear what's going on? No wine in town, and some say if wine is very expensive, or you can't drink wine, since kiddush in the morning is only midrabanan, it's called chamar medina, the drink, the wine of that country. It says beer, which I'm against beer in general. I told you last time, or juice, not water and not seltzer and not milk. Others say milk would be good, but he doesn't like milk for whatever reason. Mr. Brewer didn't like it. Those who like whiskey. Whoa. He thinks if you like whiskey, you can make kiddush on whiskey. I'm absolutely opposed to that psak. Number one, you shouldn't like whiskey. Number two, as we'll get to later on, he only allows whiskey if you have enough of a shear. If you have enough of a shear for whiskey, you have trouble. I don't know what's going to happen to you. Some people may, that's how big a shear they use. Okay. In my view, there's no excuse to use anything but wine or grape juice. They're not so expensive. They're available almost everywhere. So I'm not going to go into the details of Kiddush and anything else directly, especially not about Pas. But if you're using schnapps, you have to have a cup which has a revius. Now, my revius is very small, I told you. Much smaller than anybody else's. My revius is 2.5 ounces. But no shot glass is 2.5 ounces. You go to a shul, it's got a little 1 ounce shot glass, makes a shahakal, that's Kiddush. It's against what the Mishnah Berurah said. It's against. Not only that, but you have to have a cup of a revius and drink the majority thereof, which is a little bit more than an ounce. Now, if you have the chazanisha shear, you have to drink, oh, I want to say 2.5 ounces, something I have to drink. So that's gets you tipsy completely. I have to be very careful. So I'm against the whole thing. I know that I'm against people, but I have to give you my opinion. Okay. Let's talk a few minutes about Kiddush B'Makom Suda. That's a halachic requirement to have Kiddush in the place where the Suda is enjoyed. Ideally, challah. If it's not an ideal situation such as we have here in camp, so you make Kiddush and you have Shabbos camp. And Rabbi Cohen Shlita holds like the Vilna Gaon that this cake is not enough, and he won't eat anything, nothing. You never see him show up to Kiddush. He goes to learn, and he comes down 11:30, anyway, he's probably up since learning since 6 o'clock in the morning, hasn't eaten anything yet. Then he makes Kiddush, and he goes right to wash. Those who follow the opinion of the Gra should do that. Okay. How do you define B'Makom Suda? So ideally, B'Makom Suda should be in the same spot. Of course, can't be precise, but you know, close to the same spot. What about two different rooms in the same house? So, post can say, if it's a different room, you have to have intent when you made the Kiddush in one room to have the Suda in the other room. Otherwise it won't work, even if it's under the same roof. Okay, that's what the poskim say. He calls it a b'dieved, but people do it even in the chatchila. There's a tremendous dispute. What will happen the following case? A person made Kiddush in a particular place, went out and came back again to wash. Is that a problem or not a problem? What do you say? Big fight among the Gedolei Poskim. My view is it's not a problem. I think that's a more correct opinion. But there are those who say it is a problem. If that's the case, you know what the biggest problem is? Sukkos. Sukkos. You make Kiddush in a sukkah. Show of hands. Who has a sink in their sukkah? Nobody. Whose sukkah is literally adjacent to the house, so you can go from the sukkah into the house without going around, just go right in. Only have one person like that. So when it ends up being, you make it a sukkah, you go outside, wash, and come back. Some authorities say you blew it from the perspective of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And there are actually some people who say that even individuals who don't follow the Yekesh custom all year long should follow it on Sukkos. What I mean, wash first. You wash first, go into the sukkah, make Kiddush, and have the amotzi right away without leaving. Is there anybody who does that? On Sukkos or all year long?
All year long.
Yeah, all year long, I know. I wonder if anyone does it only on Sukkos. It makes sense that way, but I don't know anyone who actually does it that way. I told you, I believe the more lenient perspective. But there could be situations which are somewhat problematic. This happened to me. You know, when Eretz Yisrael, you know, the weather's usually nice, they often have the here too. But here, very often they have outdoor kiddushin. No problem. Outdoor kiddush, you make, they have it here, they still have those outdoor kiddushin. So no problem. You make kiddush outdoors, you drink, you have the cake outdoors, everything's outdoors, that's considered to be one area. You almost never have a case where you make kiddush indoors and you have the cake outdoors. Almost never happens. Well, it happened to me. Had it happened to me. My grandson had a Shabbos bris in Eretz Yisrael. The bris, of course, was in the shul. And I had the honor of naming the baby or saying the bracha, which includes drinking the wine. I said, where's the beef? Where's the cake? Where? Outside. That's a problem, right? Because I'm inside and the stuff is outside. I said, do me a favor, bring me a piece of cake into the shul. And then I continued outside because I was afraid of this problem. This is different than in my shul. I told you, I make kiddush upstairs. Everyone goes downstairs. Now, they have in mind to go downstairs. Most people go downstairs through the indoor steps. Some of them go outdoors and come into the outside, which can happen. In my opinion, it would be okay. Other opinions would say it's not okay because you left the house completely. Okay. The same as we have kiddush. Oh. Same as we have kiddush b'makom suda, after the kiddush was called bizman suda. Ideally, you should have the kiddush and the suda without too much of a hefsek between. That's why the yekesh minig is better, because you first wash, you make kiddush, boom, right into the suda. It's better that way. How much must you eat for to be considered kiddush b'makom suda? Kazayas of challah. That's the ideal. That's the idea. What about cookies? Cookies? You fulfill the mitzvah of kiddush b'makom suda. So too, we have lakshin kugel or Wheaties. This all comes from it's all alamichya. That's enough. Shas atzchak. Some say you can fulfill the mitzvah, believe it or not, kiddush b'makom suda, with a revius of wine. Wow. There's nothing else there. Or for example, you're on a diet. They have these delicious, scrumptious cakes. Oh, your eyes are going crazy. The doctor said, don't touch it. So, you drink a revius of wine and the rest of the food, they have herring and whatever your favorite foods are. That wouldn't qualify because it's a bar and a fushes. It's not an alamichya. Shas atzchak. You can have the revius of wine or grape juice. Some say revius over and above the melol lugmav. And it's good to be machmer if you can, but according to me, it's not so much. The revius is 2.5 ounces, and then another ounce, 4 ounces, give everything. That's not so much. Fine.
Is there any difference in this between wine and grape juice, or that would be the same?
I think it's the same. Okay.
And we consider Pesach a Shas L'chak, or you should have a matzah. In Pesach, it's hard to find mizonos.
Yeah. I was told this, Rav Moshe, when they made kiddush in his yeshiva on Pesach, and all they served was eggs. So Rav Moshe was really willing to rely on that based on the tshuva which he wrote, and he'd make kiddush with them and have eggs with them and then go home and eat the mass. That's what I was told by people who saw it. Wow. Some say if you don't have bread, you don't have cake, you don't have so much wine, you can rely on one opinion which says it's enough to have fruits to fulfill kiddush b'makom suda. Obviously, at night you can't rely on this, but by day, some actually rely on it, as I told you, Rav Moshe did, in the situation of the eggs. Fine. Now, when you make a bar per geffen on the wine, that takes care of all of the drinks that you have, as long as you have a significant amount of wine, a little lugma, an ounce plus. It's a problem. People just have a little tiny bit of wine. So then, it's a question whether they pot themselves from shar mashkin. So what do? Ask someone to make a shakel for you. Who's ever been here? Rav Nevin sells skittish. Every time. He brings out what? Chocolate? Make a shakel on the chocolate, send them with the soda, should be taken care of. It's a suffix bracha, so it's a ritual every week. Okay. Now, the obligation of the three suitors of Shabbos, I'll end in a few minutes and we'll just briefly. So there are three obligations, as I told you before, one at night, one in the morning, one after the afternoon. Okay, you have to have, men and women are obligated in all three suddas. The first two suddas must have lechem, must. Shalashuddas, should better have lechem. Better have lechem. How much lechem, ideally, yosem in kebetza? Ideally. What's a kebetza? We said kebetza was the equivalent of 50 cc's, so you know it's less than two shot glasses for those who figure that one out. Not so much. Kazayas in a pinch is enough. Kazayas can be really very small. You have no bread, you have cake. If it's sheer kavir suda, so much you have to wash and bench, that's okay. But less than that, so you can rely on the lean opinions that cake is enough. But that's only in a pinch. That's what we said before. You make Kiddush and Shul before Chatzos, based on that lenient opinion, you already had your Suda Shniyah, if you will, based upon the fact that you had cake. Fine. This mitzvah is only next Shabbos, only if you enjoy it. If you're afraid it's going to hurt you physically or some other way, then shouldn't eat. There's a mitzvah la'anigas ha'shabbos ish kefi yecholto, boser, yayin, McDonald's, dogim. Some say dogim should have all three meals. Who has dogim all three meals? Anybody? Yeah? I think in camp you could put it around. They serve meals and if you ask for it, I think you have all three meals. Good, but I grew up, we had soup at night and fish by day. No? That's how some people grew up. No? Fish all three meals? Gavaldik. Okay? So that's tzaddikim when they were Baruch Hashem. You should drink, you should have the Sudas Shabbos of Te'ovo. Therefore, the ideal is to wash right after Kiddush. Don't fill yourself up with other things from the week, what we call the Kiddush. You know, the people come to a Kiddush, they go, it's impossible. Eat so much, it's terrible. They come home, the wife made a whole meal. Can't get anything down. It's bad for Shalom Bayis, it's bad for the Halacha, it's bad for everything. It's bad. Shouldn't have so much to eat at the Kiddush. I'll tell you the truth. The Kiddush is so big, call it a Kiddush lunch and serve challah, the Kiddush, and go home and have nothing. Oh, that's a question of families and guests, etc., etc. But on occasion, you know, now that I'm an empty nester, so that's something. Okay, the big Kiddush. It's for chalas. And have what they serve. They have this fish and they have the meat and they have the. That's it. Gamarno. People look at me funny, but I guess every situation is different. It's very rarely done in my house because we like to eat it at home. Because once in a while, it may happen. Nothing wrong with that. There's an interesting issue, which I guess we'll remind me to talk about next time, because I want to end. Is there a particular order of which meal should have the most quality or the most quantity of the three meals of Shabbos? If you remind me, we'll talk about that next time. But next, I'm going to start Perek Nun Hey about Lecha Mishnah and Betzias Hapas. Hopefully, next Wednesday, same time, same station. Thank you for coming. Nun Hey. How are you?